One of the greatest mysteries of all time in rock history is what exactly happened on February 3rd, 1959. Jay's dad, the Big Bopper, had made a big name for himself in radio, and I'm going to let Jay tell all those stories a little later. But when the plane crashed, it was it just crashed a few minutes after takeoff, and there were so many urban legends about the crash. I mean, there were stories that there was a gun, which we know a gun was on the plane, but the idea that somehow maybe in the changing of a seat, the gun may have fired, killed the pilot. And then Jay's father's body was found 40 feet, a little over 40 feet from the plane, and there was a rumor that he may have survived for a while. And what Jay decided to do was to confront these legends head on. And I think from there we'll let Jay pick it up, tell us the story.
Okay, go ahead, Jay. Why did you decide to do this?
Well, what it was, Rensley, we had a group of people in the Beaumont, Texas area that wanted to erect a statue for Dad. And where Dad was buried in this particular cemetery, in this area of the particular cemetery, they wouldn't allow anything above ground. And so really, I didn't decide to exhume Dad to do this examination, but because we needed to, and this happened before Mother passed, which was 3 years ago, all this first, was brought to me. Well, anyway, just here in the last year, it was brought up again, and we decided that we would exhume Mom and Dad and move them to another part of the cemetery. And I just thought, well, being, that we're going to have Dad above ground, it would be kind of silly not to, to do this examination, because I had one of the world's leading forensic anthropologists that agreed to, Dr. Bill Bass, who agreed to do the examination of Dad's remains. And, it was just an opportunity to put these rumors to rest.
Dr. Bill Bass, of course, helped positively identify the Lindbergh baby's long-dead remains. He is one of the best. You're absolutely right, Jay. The rumors, of course, Jay and Gary, was that there was indeed a gun that found by the wreckage. Is that true, Gary?
Yes, it was. It was found under the plane after the plane was removed in the spring. And the gun had been fired, I believe, twice. And, of course, the farmer who owned the land later claimed that he was the one who fired the gun. But still, it made its way into legend, and it was one of the things that I know that Dr. Bass looked at in the story. So that part of it's true. Now, whether I think Jay can tell you the story that there was nothing to show that his father had met with a violent end with a handgun. Is that right, Jay?
Right. I can speak to Dad. Dad was killed in a plane crash, pure and simple, and Dad was killed on impact. There was no doubt about it. I mean, we did a full body X-ray of Dad's remains, and I might add, Dad's remains were Dad was totally recognizable. It was the most unbelievable thing I'd ever done in my life to be able to actually see my father, and I mean down to the flat top, which was still black and standing straight up like they had just cut his hair. So. It was really an amazing day.
Yeah. Oh, my God. After all these years, everything basically stayed intact, huh?
Well, I just think there's higher powers that kind of knew maybe one day I would see my father, and maybe I wouldn't have to wait to get to that next place, wherever that may be. And, so everything just kind of held together maybe for me for that one day, yeah.
Dr. Bill Bass did say that your father died quickly. And I won't get into the specifics of that, of course, obviously, but definitely not a gunshot. But however, Jay and Gary, that doesn't rule out that the pilot might have been shot, right?
I agree. I'm sorry, Gary.
No, you go right ahead, Jay.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I don't pretend to know what happened, and I think there's only four people that know what happened, and none of them are with us. And I did everything I could do, as far as my father's concerned to disprove that. And, of course, it's up to some other people that, if they believe that to be the case, that, maybe they need to step up and maybe do some things about it and maybe do what I did if they really have these questions in their mind.
Absolutely. And your father, best known, of course, for Chantilly Lace, but he was an innovator, pretty accomplished radio guy too, wasn't he?
Well, Dad had set a world's record in 57 when he got out of the service. He'd been in radio prior to that and wanted people to know he was back in town, and set a continuous broadcast record of 122 hours and 8 minutes, which is a little over 5 days. which he did in the lobby of a local theater in Beaumont where everybody could see him day or night. So, you know, Dad had a couple of number one records and as a writer, and neither one of them were Chantilly Lace. You know, Dad had written Running Bear and another song, White Lightning, which launched George Jones's career. So, you know, Dad was quite accomplished in a number of areas. We just know here in the last 5 or 6 years he's been recognized as performing and producing the world's first known music videos and even coining the phrase music video in late 58. So Dad was on to a number of things at the time.
How did he get the name, the nickname, the Big Bopper?
Well, if truth be told, they were probably sitting on Village Creek having a few beers and with a couple of buddies. And but what it was, there was a beer company out of Milwaukee that was one of the big sponsors of the radio station, and they had come to Dad and to the station and said, "Look, we want something to appeal to a little younger audience, and you know, come up with something." It was just like a lot of these morning radio guys that'll come up with these characters, and Dad just basically said, "You know, I'm big and I like to bop, and I'll be the Big Bopper." I mean, you know, it wasn't, you know, it didn't take two rocket scientists and three Aggies to figure it out. You know, it was just kind of one of those things that you just kind of wake up in the middle of the night and go, "Hey, this is it," you know. And so anyway, he took a black dialect because the black artists of the time seemed like they were the ones, you know, really getting the music played.
And
you know, and so Dad borrowed the black dialect and became this really cool cat. And, you know, for a long time, people didn't know that, you know, Dad had two shows on the radio station there in Beaumont. One is Jape Richardson and one is the Big Bopper. And for a long time, a lot of people didn't know he was one and the same guy because he was just two totally different, you know, people or characters.
In 1978, the movie The Buddy Holly Story came out. Our dear friend Gary Busey, of course, played Buddy Holly. A fellow by the name of Gillard Sartain played your father, and I'll always remember that scene because I just love the way he started going, you know, "Hey, baby." And, I mean, it was just great.
Well, we're glad that, you know, I'm glad that Dad was only portrayed in both movies for a short while because there really is so much more to Dad than this silly character that, and I understand these movies were not about Dad, and, you know, and they portrayed Dad as this silly guy that all he knew how to do was laugh, and, but that really wasn't my father. Like I said, that was a character he created, and, but I understand why they did it. And hopefully one day we'll have, the opportunity real soon to get the story out about Dad.